When we look at our text today from Matthew's Gospel, which incidentally is a story of faith, we have to be a little careful understanding what's going on here. We cannot fall into the trap of doing exegetical gymnastics to make this mean something that it doesn't, or to make it mean what we want it to say. It says what it says, it means what it means, and therein is the power for us as followers of Christ each day. Matthew wrote his gospel. Matthew was a Jewish tax collector, as you know. And Matthew wrote his gospel to Jews, his letter to Jews, because there was the question among the Jews, was Jesus really the Messiah that the prophets foretold was coming for the Jewish people, to save them, to free them? And there was a lot of question in the Jewish community about this. So Matthew, having spent time with Jesus, knew Jesus and wrote this to give testimony that this truly was the one who was prophesied through Isaiah and other prophets to be the Jewish Messiah. And we're going to see some things here in the text to show us this is what, why Matthew wrote the text. Now, you have to turn back a little bit to the beginning of chapter 9 to understand where Jesus was. He was up in his homeland in Galilee, traveling about, and he was teaching, and of course, everywhere he went, we know there were people following him for various reasons. Many people were following him to be healed. Some were following him for food. We know he multiplied the loaves and fishes, and they believed that he could provide food for them. So they were following him for their own reasons. Sadly, because Jesus was more than just that earthly provider like that in the way that he was providing for people. As Jesus was teaching about fasting to the religious leaders and those who were following him, it tells us in our text today, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Now, there's a process involved in healing. A process of going to a doctor or a healer to be healed. First of all, in our minds, we have to surrender the fact that we're sick, that we need something. We need healing. We need something that's wrong to be made right. So we have to make the conscious decision to go to the physician. You go to the doctor's office, you go in the office. It's very soothing and comforting. If you ever notice, they paint their office waiting rooms in soothing colors. There's magazines there to help relieve any anxieties. I remember in the dental office when I was a little boy where I went, they had an aquarium in the wall with fish. It was all made to soothe the person that was coming in and to remove any anxieties they might have about coming to a doctor. And then hopefully the office personnel and the nurses were smiling faces, very compassionate people. Sadly, many are not anymore, but they were all part of the process in making the people feel comfortable there. And then, of course, the doctor, they would call you in, you'd go into the room, the doctor would come in, and he would say, "What seems to be the problem?" And we find ourselves in the presence of the physician. And we start explaining to them what is wrong. Here in this case in Matthew, a ruler came and knelt before Jesus and said, "My daughter's just died. Come and put your hand on her and she will live." We don't know who this ruler is. There's no sense in spending hours and hours trying to figure out who this guy was. It just simply tells he was a ruler. He, evidently, because he was a ruler, he had high standing in the community for some reason or another, but he came to Jesus. And look what he did. He came and he knelt before Jesus. He was acknowledging that there was a problem before this prophet Jesus. And said, "My daughter's just died, but come and put your hand
Here was a woman who had had a problem for a long time. She was a woman who had suffered. She was exhausted probably from the suffering, bleeding for 12 years. She came up behind him. Now the ruler came before Jesus and knelt before him. This lady just simply comes up behind Jesus because she knew in her heart, I just simply could touch the end of his cloak, I'll be healed. The King James Version uses the word whole in place of healed. That she said in her to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made whole. And here's the key in all this about being healed and about being made whole. Jesus turned and he saw the woman and he said to her, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Jesus then went into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd. They thought the girl was dead and they were doing what was custom to do in the community at that time. And he said, now you guys go away, get out of here. Not in a mean way, but he's saying to them, the girl's not dead. You don't need to do this, the girl's not dead, she's just asleep. And they laughed at Jesus. So after the crowd had been put outside, he went in, he took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Now, I want you to understand some things that are going on here, first of all. Why Matthew would write these things? In the Jewish community, this ruler that came to Jesus, again, we don't know who he was, but the fact that he came to Jesus was acknowledging that Jesus was more powerful than he was. Secondly, the lady that was bleeding for so many years, a woman who was bleeding like that, was not kosher in the Jewish community, so to speak. Okay? She was defiled. They were supposed to be put outside the Jewish community. She came to Jesus. Touching Jesus would have defiled Jesus. So she said, if I just simply touch his cloak, I'll be healed. Jesus turned around and said, your faith has made you well. Now, Jesus is reaching out to two different kinds of people here in this story. You see, a man of high standing and a woman of very low standing in the community. He's reaching out to them in compassion to make them whole. Healing in this regard meant more than just physical healing. It meant a restoration back into the community, you see, because being cast out of the community or apart from the community was not a good thing in this context. So healing someone like this, because it was thought by many of the Jews in their community that if you had a condition like this, that you would sin. Remember the man born blind from birth? And they said to Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus said, no, it doesn't work that way. This happens so that God's glory may be evident, you know, through what I'm about to do. So the thought in the Jewish community that these people had these problems because they were sinners, Jesus, here he was reaching out to these defiled people, these outcasts in societies, and these sinners freely and healing them in a special way. Matthew goes on to say Jesus went on from there and two blind men followed him. I'm asking myself, the blind men, they followed him. Well, there was always a crowd. They were in that crowd, that mix. They were following him. And what did they call out to him? Have mercy on us, son of David. Matthew is making the case for the Old Testament prophet saying that this Messiah that was to come would be the son of David. He's crying out to him, have mercy on us, son of David. Acknowledging that Jesus truly is that messianic, anointed person that God had foretold that was going to come and free the people and heal them. And as Jesus stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and has anointed me to do these things, today you're hearing this has been fulfilled. That was Old Testament prophecy by Isaiah. When Jesus stood up and was handed the scroll that was opened to the prophet of Isaiah, do you think that is coincidence? Absolutely not. The priest would go over into the little compartment there and take out the scroll, and it wasn't a book, it was a scroll, and they'd open it up and hand it to the teacher in the synagogue. Jesus happened to be a teacher that day. He read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. bring recovery of sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, and went on and on. When Jesus was starting his ministry, John the Baptist's disciples, his followers, went to Jesus and they said, "What shall we tell John? Are you the anointed one that was prophesied, that was is coming? Are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus said, "Go back and tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, the oppressed are free." You see, this was evidence to these people that Jesus truly was the anointed one of God, the son of David, the Messiah that God had promised to send. And Jesus said, when they went indoors, he said to the blind men, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He touched their eyes and he said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Then, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. And the crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this had ever been seen in Israel." Okay, so now we have two more cases. We have the blind man, and we have the man who was possessed by a demon. All these people in these cases came to Jesus or were brought to Jesus. Jesus just wasn't walking around looking for stuff to do. They made the conscious decision, like we do when we go to the doctor, to come to the physician. Their help and their hope was in Jesus, and no one else but Jesus, because he was the son of David, the prophesied Messiah, and that Jesus had the power and the compassion to reach out to each individual and meet their specific need and make them whole again. Make them whole. The Pharisees, however, said it's by the prince of demons that he's doing these things, casting out dead demons. They were actually saying that Jesus' power was evil and not good. Now, again, if Jesus' power was evil, would he be doing good things? And he said to them later on, he said, "You know, if I was doing this by the power of Satan, Beelzebub, whoever, would I be doing good things?" You see? So here he was. Matthew was proclaiming Jesus truly was the son of David, the Messiah, the one who was not only able, but willing and compassionate to reach out to every single person that came to him and healed them. Now, the ultimate question is, then, why does God allow these things in the first place in our lives? Why did God allow that person I love, that relative to get sick, to have cancer, or whatever it was? Why did God allow that young person to die? Why did God allow that in the first place? You see, before the world was even created, God knew every one of you, God knew me, God knows everyone, and he knows every single thing that's going to happen to them in their lives, including that they're going to get sick. Okay? Why would he have allowed his friend Lazarus to die? And when he came back to him and said to him, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died," and Jesus said, "Relax. Relax. This has happened so that God may be glorified." Because you see, in part of God's bigger plan, and this may be foreign to you and hard for you to grasp and accept, in God's greater plan, he knows who's going to be sick before they even get sick. And God's hope is that all will turn to him to find wholeness. Wholeness is a process. Healing is a bigger picture than God just simply making us physically well again by taking a few pills or going to physical therapy. Wholeness is the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare workers, the physical therapists, our churches, our communities, all coming together in the name of God as answer to prayer. God plugs people in and makes things work so that. And I want you all to hear this. Okay? So that a man who has been in a wheelchair of Christ. Someday it will be totally, total bliss, total joy as we sit around the throne of God at the feet of Jesus. But in this life, we're going to suffer. There's going to be suffering. Jesus said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the key in all this is turning to the great physician, the one who can make us all whole. That doesn't always mean total healing in this life, but it brings wholeness into our lives. It gives us the strength and the courage to face every single day unafraid, no matter what condition we are dealing with, praising and glorifying God for it, as these people did, saying that I've simply got to surrender this to the Lord and accept what the Lord gives me, and that shall be my joy. And I shall praise God all the days of my life and even into eternity. To some, God brings total healing in this life. In some, God brings total healing through death. But ultimately, He brings total healing and wholeness to us, bringing us comfort and helping us to know that He is truly the Son of David that God had prophesied. And I found it interesting that this word healed, this word whole, in the ancient texts implies being safe and secure. When it says they were healed, it implied that they were safe and secure, which again implies they were saved. And that's what Jesus is all about, isn't it? Salvation. Wholeness, healing. And as we turn to Him, we find miraculous ways that He brings wholeness into our lives. This sick person over here reached out to the one who just got the diagnosis and says, it's going to be okay. Here's what I went through. Here's what I've learned. We've got to trust in the Lord and pray together. You see how that works? That God connects people in His greater plan. And wholeness and healing so that we can endure each day and face the future unafraid, and rather than feeling like outcasts, God says, no, you're not outcasts. You're my children. I love you. I'm going to bring wholeness into your life. I'm going to bring you back in and let you know that you are part of my kingdom. The great physician, Jesus, the Son of David, as Matthew proclaims that He is. The ruler came and knelt before Him. The woman just simply followed Him and reached down and touched His cloak. The blind man cried out to Him as He went by, have mercy on us. And the man that was demon-possessed was brought to Jesus. There's two things that are common to all of these. In closing, first of all, they all were brought into the presence of Jesus. And secondly, they were all healed. It's not a coincidence. There were many, many, many more healings than this. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of our Lord Jesus, who has ultimate control over all of life and all of death. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we thank You for